Hello, and welcome to Dialogues, presented by Design for the Common Good, a resource that offers a collection of exchanges that are helping to shape perspectives and understanding in the space of community-based design practices. I am your host, Rana Cove. Welcome back, listeners. This is the Oak Savannah and iTech Center, the Voices at the Intersection of iTech and Architecture series. This is a two-episode podcast series, so we highly recommend you check out the first episode as it lays down the background for today's story. In a previous episode, we heard from Judy Bluehorse-Skelton, Emma Johnson, Mandy Miller, Athena Rilatos, Clifton and Christine Bruno, and Emma Jo Cohen as they introduced us to the story of the Oak Savannah and iTech Center, which is short for Indigenous Traditional Ecological and Cultural Knowledge Center. They also shared how the collaborative process behind the restoration of the PSU Oak Savannah serves as an example for restoring the health of other urban forests, and also as a call to action to approach climate change solutions through Indigenous lenses. You can find that episode now at designforthecommongood.net. In today's episode, we're going to continue the story with hearing how the students and faculty from the PSU School of Architecture have contributed to this effort, and how the lessons learned from this project are contributing to a shift in paradigm within architecture education and practice. We will be hearing from many voices today, and I'll be introducing them as we go through today's story. I don't really have much left to say here, except let's continue on with the introduction of our first five storytellers.
My name is Sergio Palaroni. I am a professor of architecture and the founder of the Center for Public Interest Design. And I've been teaching for, this is the fourth decade, ending almost completed. And I've known for participatory design, or what's now called public interest design.
My name is Eric Giovanetti. I'm the Center for Public Interest Design Project Manager and Coordinator for the iTech Center project. I am a recent graduate of Portland State School of Architecture Master of Architecture program, and I started work on this project in a design studio in 2022.
My name is Travis Bell. I am a professor here at the School of Architecture. I've been here for, I think, around 15 or 16 years. Prior to coming into architecture, I got a degree in philosophy from PSU, my alma mater. And then I went into carpentry, which was fantastic, and then eventually found my way back to school through architecture.
My name is Arden, and my background is in woodworking and architecture and music. And my connection with the Oak Savannah project has been that I began working on it with through coursework here, and then through interest in being asked by professors, became involved in the Center for Public Interest Design, which dovetailed into also continuing work on the Oak Savannah.
My name is Sam Barber. I grew up in Oregon. I'm from Eugene. Moved up to Portland for undergrad about 15 years ago. And I enrolled in a master's in architecture at PSU in 2021 and graduated in 2024. And after graduation, I was hired by the Center for Public Interest Design to work as a designer and ambassador for the school with the architect of record on the iTech project.
All right. So as a starting point for today's episode, we're actually going to take you a few years back. And no, not in 2019 when iTech and the PSU School of Architecture first started collaborating, but actually back to when Judy and Sergio first started working together at Portland State University.
I just, in this project, we call it Oak Savannah, I knew Judy from, because we were both part of an effort, which is PSU is famous for, of having, requiring a capstone experience. which engages you in a community project. And actually, I learned a lot from her, and we'd become friends, but disconnected. And then we were, years later, just 6-7 years ago, we were involved with the city in trying to create a resilience net framework for earthquakes, because Portland is at the heart of the, you know, the massive earthquake sequence. And the city was trying to figure out, how do we create resilience? And then in a moment, you know, that probably like changed our fates, I decided to invite Judy with the ex-president, Stephen Percy. And we both thought, God, Judy needs to talk to this, because the site the city had chosen was the Oak Savannah, but they weren't seeing us at Oak Savannah. They were seeing us an empty field. So we invited Judy because we knew she'd been imagining a different future for this Oak Savannah, and I said. And so she came and spoke, and we had this big PG&E grant that was bringing MIT's world famous. MIT has this system where they go around the world and help communities that could suffer earthquake damage or disaster damage to prepare for it and create infrastructure to prepare for it. And we had MIT there and all their wonderful thinking and machines and very, like this technology hub that was help people communicate after a disaster, was very bulletproof. And there comes in Judy, and she talks about a different vision of life. She's not even talking about hard technology or communication or anything like that. She's talking about creating a space that would be resilient to the changes of the earth. And everybody, scientists, politicians, even MIT that was there had flown in, everybody said, that's it. Forget the technology solution. It's really about restoring the capacity of the earth. So, and that resonated to me because I've been working with Native Americans in Montana, South Dakota, Mexico, Peru, South America. And their sense of what is healthy and comes from millennia of observing and reflecting and taking a different, slower way of building an integration that was much more sustainable.
So how exactly did Sergio and Judy see architecture fit into this effort? Well, first, I think that we have to know a little bit more about this emerging field in architecture called public interest design, which is a work that Sergio has been deeply involved in for many years.
My definition of public interest design probably shifts every year. And it shifts every year because I'm beginning to realize it's a human right. And that, you know, the right to good design, the right to home, all the themes, the right to schools, good schools, the right to a good classroom, the right to a beautiful living environment of the city, the equal right to a good environment of the city. And so it deals with all the issues of equality and sustainability and all those things. So normally those things will only be accessible in architecture to those who paid our fees. And public design postulates, no, those should be available to everybody because they make a difference between a life and a different trajectory you could have if you lived in a good home or went to a good school.
And in the public interest design perspective, this is actually done through conducting participatory processes in design. It's about bringing all of the voices together around the table and co-designing and making decisions about our built environments together.
I wasn't the first to say this, but I think it's a human right. It should be instituted as a human right. So, and then once you say it's a human right, then you realize that you have to learn to talk to people. You have to learn to have meaningful conversations with people and make your relationship with people like reciprocal and build trust between you and all the things that you're never taught in school, traditionally in architecture.
And the Center for Public Interest Design at Portland State University's School of Architecture was established to introduce this practice in architecture education and equip future designers and architects with this knowledge. But now what happens when you mix both iTech and public interest design values and practices together in the restoration of the PSU Oak Savannah and iTech Center?
So I started this conversation with Judy with a bunch of design studios through COVID, after COVID, and the students came up with some manifestations of how to build on this because we wanted to not just restore it, but we also build a technology center, which was like a living lab, which would be managed by students, where we would be just going out to the field, learning from the field, from what was we were growing, these native plants and things. And so it would be like slowly learning and implementing as we learned. Just beautiful. There's so much to tell here, but I'll just end by saying that the project that stood out was by one student who's still deeply involved here. So we had these beautiful projects, but at the end, the thing that struck most to Judy was one project which just said, what we need to do is build a table from wood from the native forest and put it out there so we can all sit around and talk and reflect and decide what we're going to build. And she said, that's exactly it.
And since then, many more generations of iTech and architecture students have gathered around this physical and metaphoric table, which will make a lot more sense in the second half of this episode. But to rope us back in, this really becomes a pivotal point because it shapes the way that we engage participants and invite ideas, expertise, and experiences in the revisioning of the iTech Center. And Eric, who was also one of the students, tells us about how all of this has been playing out.
Yeah, many of our engagements are periodic. So we have focus groups as probably our most frequent, and those happen typically every other week. That's something Emma and I have been doing for a while. We basically hold an open meeting. So the subjects often encompass kind of what is the day-to-day business of what we're doing to realize the iTech Center project, but it is open to all students. And then there are kind of a host of other meetings that occur less frequently, the most notable being the seasonal gatherings, which happen typically once a term, though in the spring term, the beginning has the spring gathering and the very end is the summer gathering because most people are gone in the summer. We are in some ways trying to figure out what are the next steps to including more students. Another way is through architecture classes.
And there's one particular professor in the School of Architecture and faculty in the Center for Public Interest Design who does quite a good job doing this, engaging students in the classroom, then expanding beyond from there.
The project first came to me through Sergio. Sergio and Judy really, I think, came up with this crazy idea. And because I do a lot of design-build work here at the university, Sergio came to me immediately to start to talk about what this kind of design-build project might look like.
Before we go on further, let's break down this idea of the academic design-build because it'll make a lot more sense as Travis goes over the courses and projects in depth and how it's contributing towards reshaping how we understand the role of the architect and what architecture practice can look like. That includes students, educators, and many more participants gathered around the design table and having hands-on connection through literally building these spaces, which in many ways also parallels the way that Judy and Emma connect students to the land and the environment in their courses. Travis, you've mentioned this term called design build, and we're bringing this idea to the eventual redesign of the iTech Center. So could you explain a little bit more what is design build in the academic realm?
So design build in the academic setting in schools of architecture refers to the kind of simple premise that students can design and then construct what they've designed, and that creates this iterative loop for learning. That suddenly the lines that you've put on a page have more meaning because you've then tried to put them together. And so to your point earlier, I think design builds can happen at lots of different scales of investigation. They can be individual, where someone's just trying to figure out how to put something together. But usually when we talk about it, we're referring to a collaborative process amongst lots of people to bring a collective design into reality by building it by building it with the designers who created it in the first place. It's, I think, fairly unique. At least the term is fairly unique to the academic setting. And we really value it as a pedagogical tool. And part of it is what I just described, that it has these really kind of rich loops of learning for students.
So what exactly has been created through these courses and academic design build projects?
I had my students who do an annual design build class. They worked with Judy and Emma to design a pavilion space for the Oak Savannah, which would be not the full iTech Center, but a kind of outdoor classroom space. And we coupled that effort with an annual design build project that I've been doing for a long time for the Pickathon Music Festival. And so we got to work on that project together. And then most recently, I had a group of graduate students and undergraduate students again who had the opportunity to just focus on what the tectonics of the wall for the iTech Center might be like, just to begin to explore what's possible.
To further expand on this, let's hear from Sam, who shared some of his experience being a student in these early courses.
A huge component of it was research into the indigenous principles, kind of driving the project. A lot of time was spent talking to Judy Bluehorse Skelton. Research into Oak Savannah ecosystems, different building materials, and sustainable concepts. My involvement continued later on in graduate school in a class called Theoretical Tectonics, in which we studied how the kind of the constituent parts of a building, so the structure and the skin and all the control layers like insulation or moisture barriers, how all those can be put together in a way that contribute not just to the performance of a building or this building in particular, but also to the goals of the bigger goals of the project.
Also, taking us back to 2022, Kevin O'Brien, an Indigenous designer of Kuareg and Miriam ancestry of the Torres Strait Islands, who was also a distinguished visiting professor to PSU, got to collaborate with students and engage both iTech and architecture students in a week-long studio workshop on Indigenous design methodologies titled Finding Country.
So, Kevin O'Brien, an extraordinary Aboriginal designer from Australia, came and I think changed our lives and kind of changed our perspective on what architecture could do. But he's teaching us techniques that are transforming the way we are approaching design and even reevaluating how we live and the cities we live. He asked us to sit down and erase anything in our cities that didn't belong or wasn't serving the community and then reimagine it. We had Kevin O'Brien here for a week, and he was just part of our lives. You know, we hung out with him. Everybody got to know him. He's a very personable person. We took the effort to gather everybody, all the students, at a certain level. There were over 100 students. And we were all sitting around and following him in this exploration of our city.
And the result of a lot of that work at the end of the 2022 school year was a collaboration between iTech and architecture students to create a book that would document all of the shared research, knowledge, and collaboration that have grown since Judy and Sergio first started imagining what this collaboration could look like.
The book was a product of the research that had been conducted by our studio, as well as some of the work of an undergraduate studio a couple years prior. And what is really cool about that book is that it shows that research, and then also it shows four different kind of potential versions of what the iTech Center could be that were sited on different places on the site that took different approaches to material usage, had different relationships to the kind of the natural orders of the world, the sun and the rain, and different relationships to the indigenous principles that are highlighted in the project. And I think that book, you know, building off of the work of what the undergraduate students did, was just this incredible kind of jumping off point for the design process that we're now in. And I look back at some of those projects and I see so many different elements from all of them that have made it into this final version.
And the endless opportunities for student and community involvement doesn't just stop there. More recently, in the fall of the 2024 PSU school year, a few PSU architecture students even got the chance to collaborate with Opsis Architecture, which, just a heads up, is one of the architecture firm collaborators in this project. And together, they have developed more design, build, and research curriculum for future generation of students. Here's Razan and Shem, two architecture graduate students who will share with us what that experience was like.
My name is Razan Zainab, and I am originally from Palestine. I've been in the U.S. for 10 years. I am my first year for the grad architectural program.
My name is Sham Al-Durrell. I am in my first year in the grad school, and I did my undergrad in PSU. In that project, we did start a syllabus for the future courses in the iTech Center and how students will get involved and how we will try to get students from the architecture department and then other school department, how we can get them involved in the iTech Center.
We created three different type of topics. Earthen walls, how can we educate people about earthen walls and how can they become more creative and create this like interior earthen walls, and then the water collections, how people can design these like small modules to create water collections for water celebrations. And the last one was shading devices using trees, branches.
To round out our conversation, let's hear from one more architecture student who has also been involved in some of this work, and just so happened that I was able to catch up with him in one of the Oaks Savannah seasonal gatherings.
My name is Edward Hodge. I'm a recent graduate from Portland State's undergraduate architecture program. I graduated in the spring of 23. So I was first introduced to the Oak Savannah project, a project we had at school working with the graduate students, partnering with them on designs for the future iTech Center. And then later on, and then the following year, I worked on a project imagining a rocket mass heater and how that could support events taking place here on the Oak Savannah. So my role has been in assisting and supporting some of those visions through the School of Architecture here on the Oak Savannah. The first thing I really stuck out to me today is in the typical opening ceremonies that happen at these types of events, I think I just like the way that it really allows you to like take a moment and to breathe and to connect to the land that you're working on. And I think that, especially today with the sun shining, it felt really special.
Up next, we'll be exploring how exactly the design process here at the Oak Savannah and iTech Center is beginning to contribute to a shift within architecture practice and education after the break.